Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder and this is BRN AM for Friday, May 8th, 2020. And our top stories today, the Oracle of Omaha speaks and green spending can boost a recovery. Well, joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Devin Banerjee. He's a senior financial services editor for LinkedIn and he's also the editor of the This Week in Finance newsletter, which you can find on the LinkedIn platform. Devin, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
Always great to speak with you as well. And I know it's still a busy week, lots of news, lots of information going on in finance. What's top of mind for you and your LinkedIn senior finance team?
Absolutely, Jeff. So the first item we're going to talk about today is results from Warren Buffett's conglomerate, Berkshire Hathaway, the big insurance and industrial and consumer conglomerate, reported first quarter results this past weekend. So I'm going to go through some of those results and also some great takeaways from Buffett's virtual shareholder meeting this time around. So in terms of the results, a first quarter loss, a record loss for Berkshire Hathaway of about $50 billion. Now, it's really important to note this includes a lot of unrealized moves in its investment portfolio. So changes in the value of investments being carried in the portfolio, but not crystallized as losses because Berkshire hasn't sold those investments. But moves in big stakes like Kraft Heinz, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, also some of its consumer businesses that are wholly owned by Berkshire Hathaway, like Dairy Queen, Fruit of the Loom, Duracell, all of these companies taking a hit due to the downturn from the pandemic. Operating earnings, which are a much more kind of representative metric of cash flow for Berkshire Hathaway, was actually up to about $5.87 billion in the quarter from $5.56 billion a year ago. So, as I said, a virtual shareholder meeting this year, which actually paused the annual kind of ritual, what's called the Woodstock for capitalists in Omaha, Nebraska, of tens of thousands of Berkshire investors gathering there every year to hear from Buffett and his partners, Charlie Munger and others. It was virtual this year. Some takeaways, Buffett revealed that Berkshire Hathaway exited all of its equity positions in airlines recently. Airlines was a bet that Berkshire started making in 2016 after Buffett actually for a long time stayed away from airlines. But after some consolidation in the industry and a decline in fuel prices, Berkshire moved into those stakes in 2016. Those stakes were valued at about $4 billion as of December 31st. Stakes in United Airlines, American, Southwest, Delta, and Buffett saying this past week, quote, the world has changed for the airlines, and and Berkshire Hathaway sold out of all of those stakes. Really interesting. Yeah. Second big point and takeaway was around its record cash position at Berkshire Hathaway. Now about $137 billion of cash. And a lot of people are, you know, wondering why Buffett didn't make very many purchases or big moves during the downturn we saw at the end of February and into March. Buffett has been talking for years about wanting to make another big deal, an elephant-sized acquisition, as he has termed it. And last crisis, 2008-2009, we saw Berkshire really step in with big stakes that really paid off in General Electric, Goldman Sachs. We did not see that action recently, and Buffett expanded on that at the meeting, saying this crisis is different. Back in 2008-2009, there wasn't that much competition. People were scared. Berkshire swooped in when there was fear in the water. This time is much different. And he actually basically said that the Fed beat him to it. He said Berkshire Hathaway was getting calls at the end of February, early March, from companies looking to raise capital. And then the Fed stepped in with those unprecedented set of measures that you and I have discussed over the past few weeks, which really allowed many of those companies to access capital in the public market. So some interesting takeaways there and kind of a downbeat message from Buffett overall.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the, you know, when the Oracle of Omaha, as he's known. A lot of people hold him in very high regard in terms of his investment prowess and opportunistic prowess. I mean, what was the reaction online from folks? I have to think, you know, a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but, you know, seems to get it right more than not.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting, a lot of the conversation we saw on the platform on LinkedIn was around how you could sense that Buffett was trying to bring his traditional cheery optimism, his folksy optimism, to the shareholder meeting, but it really had an undercurrent of pessimism to it. So, you know, he repeated lines like, "You can always bet on America," which is one of his longstanding messages. But then he said in this meeting, "But you have to be careful regarding how you bet on America." So all these kind of conditions to his usual optimism. He said, you know, markets will improve over the long term. But for Buffett, the long term is not the normal person's long term. He's thinking years, even decades into the future, at least for his company, Berkshire, because he may not be around for decades longer. And so a lot of investors are you know, reading that message as, yes, things will improve in the long term, but Warren, you're talking about years and decades later. And a lot of people are saying, look, Buffett often is speaking with his wallet. When he sees opportunities, he steps in, makes purchases, and this time he did not do that. He even said they don't see anything attractive to do right now. He kept repeating that he wants Berkshire Hathaway to be a Fort Knox, to have a really robust cash position and balance sheet, you know, basically to prepare and protect the company if things worsen from here. So a lot of people were reading into that. Buffett even said $137 billion, his cash pile, is not all that huge when you think about worst case possibilities. I mean, just let that sink in. $137 billion is huge. So what are these worst case possibilities that he and his team are thinking about? So it was basically a lot of caution, which we all know actually Warren Buffett is very cautious. He looks for certainty when he makes investments. He wants to hold things forever. So basically the takeaway is that there's a lot of uncertainty right now with him and his team, which is entirely understandable. But it's a bit shocking to hear these things coming from him, the Oracle, as you said.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, Devin, and I'm not sure that if you or other members of the team were able to attend as members of the press, but just wondering, you know, we just had the NFL draft, the virtual draft, just wondering what, and I seem to understand that a lot of big organizations are having virtual proxy votes and virtual shareholder meetings. Any sense on how that was done, what it looked like? You know, was it as successful as the NFL draft as an example?
I mean, I think so. I did tune into the stream. It was publicly streamed this past Saturday. And, you know, I think it went fine. Reporters and shareholders were able to still ask him questions. I think what was so shocking is, as I said, this was a real annual tradition for people to descend on Omaha, Nebraska, again, people referring to it as Woodstock for capitalists, and their swag, and there are, you know, little games and traditions that Warren Buffett himself participates in. His partners, who are brilliant, like Charlie Munger, are typically on stage with him. This time, they did not. Charlie did not fly in from California, where he lives, because of distancing and other concerns. So that was just kind of shocking, is this was a real change from that annual tradition that has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, and based on my conversation yesterday with Michael Potter from PSAV Event Services, this looks like the new paradigm, a new event, at least for the foreseeable future. Well, Devin, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but I think we've got some more optimistic news. I like to think that there's a recovery on the horizon. We're going to talk about a potential green recovery. You're going to stay right here. Right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings in retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
The windows on our homes, they protect us and the ones we love, but they do much more. At Renewal by Andersen, making your home more comfortable is at the center of every window we make. It's why we custom build our windows in America and install them in as little as one day. It's why we build our frames with exclusive Fibrex composite material that's 2 times stronger than vinyl. It's why our glass helps keep your home warmer in winter, cooler in summer, and quieter all year long. It's why we stand behind every window with a 20-year limited warranty. Why not help lower your energy costs while giving your home and family the best? Call 1-800-835-6525 to schedule a free in-home consultation. Buy one, get one at 40% off with this special offer. Plus, get special financing with no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest for one full year. Renewal by Andersen, the better way to a better window. Call 1-800-835-6525 now.
Welcome back. We're talking to Devin Banerjee. He's Senior Financial Services Editor for LinkedIn, and he is also the editor of the This Week in Finance newsletter, which you can, of course, find on the LinkedIn platform. Just look under Devin's name. He's one of the more popular people on the platform, that I can attest to. Devin, thanks so much for sticking around this morning.
Absolutely, Jeff.
And people, I'm serious. I mean, you went up to what, 140,000 people now in the subscription?
Yeah, This Week in Finance now, about 160,000 subscribers every week.
There you go. Check it out, people. Get him up to 650 million. Ultimately, that's what he's going for. That's the number of people on the platform. Okay, Devin. We kind of ended, you know, we tried to bring things up a little bit, the Oracle of Omaha, but let's talk about recovery and a potential for a green recovery.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. A really interesting, optimistic conversation happening across the world right now. If you think about it, governments are looking to invest a lot of money right now. They're looking to deploy capital in various relief measures right now. They're willing to do it. There's a window of opportunity to do it, not just for immediate relief, but also to build resiliency in their societies, their infrastructure, and their countries' economies. And what a lot of people are calling for across the board, CEOs, policymakers, NGOs, other business leaders, is for this recovery to be a green recovery. And so we featured an interesting study out of Oxford this past week that looked at how green measures during a recovery can actually produce a higher ROI than traditional stimulus measures. So we're talking about steps like retrofitting buildings to improve their energy efficiency, investing in physical infrastructure like electric vehicle charging networks or redesigning roads to be more friendly for cycling. Flood protection measures, for example, across the world, even steps like planting trees. If you think about all of these, they're large-scale capital projects. They can offer low and moderate-skilled work kind of en masse, and they can boost this resiliency that I'm talking about in economies, a resiliency to changes such as climate change. And what a lot of people are pointing to, what experts are pointing to at Oxford and in other places is these projects today during this recovery are shovel ready, if you will. They're already, in many cases, they're already underway. You know, if you think about countries have already begun, committing to cut emissions, especially after the Paris Agreement, Many of these projects I'm talking about are already underway. This was not the case during the last crisis and recovery, when committing to do these things was a much larger commitment because these things were not shovel ready. So as I said, there's a timeliness to it now. The lead Oxford researcher was quoted as saying the public tends to become more hesitant to deploy lots of capital after an initial big outlay of stimulus or relief. So there's kind of a window to do that now. A lot of people are also looking to the bailouts of many companies in different economies across the world, in both the energy sector as well as some of those more heavy emitting industries. If you think about airlines, car manufacturers that are starting to get government relief. So people are calling for conditions to be attached regarding, you know, reducing the climate impact for those recipients of government aid. So this conversation has really gathered steam. And as I said, we're seeing signatories to these calls from across the board, including many CEOs, including those of in Europe, Unilever, L'Oreal, and many other big companies right now.
Yeah, and it makes sense. What I love hearing, I love the green aspect of it, but I love hearing people mention recovery, because, you know, I think we're all kind of looking to that day when we can step out of our homes, we can be within 6 feet of each other, still wear a mask, but be outside and be at work. And that gives me a lot of hope. And look, the reality is we've talked about sustainable investing or green investing, however you want to term it. And it's not just a fly-by-night trend. This is something where there's sustainable, like the pun, sustainable investment returns that people are seeing in these types of investments. And I think it makes sense to be selectively investing in these types of companies or these types of organizations that support these endeavors.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about thinking long term. If money is going to be deployed right now and put in the ground, especially large scale deployments of capital from governments, I mean, you want to be thinking about what projects are going to be most resilient going forward, decades going forward, and what's going to produce that return on investment. And if you think about it, you know, right now, the way the world is trending, it's going toward higher efficiency, higher efficiency, lower emissions, and a real mindset around renewable energy. And so, you know, even from a capital perspective and a return perspective, a return on investment perspective, that's where people are trying to lead these big governmental organizations. And as I said, this is coming from CEOs as well. Last month, 180 business leaders and NGOs and researchers and others in the European Union signed a letter calling for EU leaders to implement a green recovery as they think about their stimulus and relief measures. And as I said, that included CEOs of companies like L'Oreal, Unilever, also IKEA. So these real capitalists, if you will, people who are attending to shareholders as well, are really calling for a movement like this right now.
And here in the States, I mean, we had been talking about, or there had been some talk about a fourth stimulus, an infrastructure stimulus, and not, you know, I don't want to go back into conversations we had in the past, but do you think that's still something that has been thought about? Because I think about infrastructure, what you're describing to me in a lot of ways is infrastructure, the, new properties, you know, refurbishing streets, but also refurbishing parks and things like that. Do you get the sense from the news and the team and what they're looking at, that this is a possibility?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a perpetual joke, unfortunately, to use that word right now with this administration. There's that perpetual joke that every week is infrastructure week, because this administration has called for, you know, infrastructure spending and a plan around public-private partnerships to invest in infrastructure since the beginning, since this administration came into office at the beginning of 2017. And there were some calls last month and even in March for a real infrastructure week to happen now. As you said, as the roads are empty, you know, they could be invested in. As buildings are empty, they could be refurbished, refitted, especially for energy efficiency. But of course, here in the US, we haven't really seen moves, bipartisan moves or anything really happen in that regard. I think, you know, Europe, when you think about the movement toward renewables and an energy efficient mindset, Europe as a continent has been quite far ahead of at least the US and other places. And so not really surprising to see them making some more progress on this front.
Yep. Well, obviously work to be done here in the States. Devin, always a pleasure chatting with you. Really good stories. And I think we did end on a positive note, as we always try to do with every show, and especially with you or this week in finance segment. Take care. Have a great weekend. And we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Take care, Jeff.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. But as you know, we're not done for the week, because tomorrow we have our retrospective show, BRN Weekly. And I'm joined by very special guest, Jack Vanderhey of the Employee Benefits Research Institute. You're not going to want to miss that episode. And we'll also take a look back at all the top news for the week. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Attention. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has officially authorized new benefits that Medicare Advantage plans may include. To get the benefits you deserve, you can call the Medicare Coverage Helpline.
Hi, I'm Joe Namath. If you're on Medicare, this is important information. I called the Medicare Coverage Helpline and they instantly looked up my coverage. In this one simple call, they offered to enroll me in a plan that includes rides to medical appointments, private home aides, doctors and nurses visits by telephone, and even home-delivered meals. The plan also includes dental, vision, hearing, and prescription drug coverage, all at no additional cost.
Don't delay. Call to see if the new benefits are available in your area.
Call the number on your screen now. It's free.
Call 1-800-757-1451. That's 1-800-757-1451.